Welcome back to Conscious Success, the podcast where we teach you how to master your mind, expand your wealth, and enhance your health. I'm your host, Madhu. I'm joined today by my wife, Ruti, as we explore how your subconscious desires are holding you back from the life that you actually desire. We show everything from the practical ways to get in touch with both your conscious and subconscious desires and the things that you truly want in your life, but what do you do with them? How do you purify them? How do you overcome them? How do you prioritize them? And most importantly, what do you do to actually achieve the desires you consciously want and not just the ones that you subconsciously want? As always, if you enjoy the topics we explore here, join our free Conscious Success community at the link in the show notes, where we not only have courses and resources to go into these topics deeper, but we also have a group of like-minded individuals to keep us strong and fortified. Let's get into it. I always appreciate this concept of you always get what you want, be that a conscious or a subconscious desire or want. If we look at the things we have in our life and we think, I don't want this, the question then is, if we were to be really honest with ourselves and looked at those subconscious desires or the ways that we're actually trained or we're programmed or we're conditioned to want, we're going to see in our life a lot of evidence to prove that we are actually getting what we desire, whether that, again, be a conscious or a subconscious thought. And really what we talk about usually when we talk about desires are conscious thoughts. Oh, I want this type of physique. I want this type of business. I want this type, whatever it might be. But if we're not getting those results from those conscious desires, we always look to the subconscious desires. And, you know, an example might be somebody who bashes somebody who's really healthy and say, oh, you know, screw this person. They're super vain. And they wonder why they're in poor shape. Or they look at somebody who's wealthy and they say, oh, you know, wealthy people are wrong. They're evil. And then they wonder why they make no money. And it's because we're never going to get what we despise or what we hate or what we don't like. We're only going to get what we like and what we want. And that's what actually shows up or manifests in our life.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I think that a lot of underlying elements to hating the rich or wealthier, you know, the eat the rich concept, or even the example that you gave of, you know, somebody who's really healthy and into fitness and showing that they're into fitness, and then somebody who really abandons their health and is very clearly living an unhealthy lifestyle. What are the attachments there? What are they actually attached to that they're slandering this other person? So clearly they're attached to elements of their unhealthy lifestyle. So somebody that's unhealthy, maybe they're really attached to eating like shit. Maybe they like just love they love getting McDonald's every day. And like that's their meal prep. Like that's their thing. Like they love it. And you can't really eat McDonald's every day. I mean, maybe you can and look great. You'd have to like really be working out and like, you know, balancing that caloric balance, but you would still probably feel like shit because McDonald's isn't real food. But anyways, going tangential. And then on the other side with, you know, people hating the wealthy is the attachment to struggle. So that's kind of more of an internal work element of why are you so attached to struggle? What is it in that struggle that you find taste in? Why are you so like attached? And I think that this is really important to just me hitting my mic again for the millionth time, because we just started this podcast and we're getting new with it. And I don't know how to work all these things, and I'm going to hit my mic sometimes. So my apologies for that. Getting back on point is,
No,
I was in the middle of a point.
You were saying, and it's important that.
Oh. Oh my God. Talking into this, it's like, because we're talking to each other. It's like, we know these things. It's so hard to talk to you about things that we already know. It's
yeah,
like
if somebody, really.
If like, somebody else was here. Yeah, it's just hard. Oh, I mean, So it's important to recognize what is that internal work that you need to reflect on that makes you so addicted to struggle. And, oh, it's important. That's what I was going to say.
Wait. Okay. Before you snap back in, just watch every time you go like this, you talk, you see how it affects the mic volume?
Just gotcha.
Do your best to speak right back into. Okay. So now we're going to clip from where it was important. And now we're going to start right back up into important. Go.
This is really important in the spiritual community because there's this weird narrative about wealth and making money and spiritualism and can I be wealthy and still have a spiritual practice. And the funny thing about attachment is if you are attached to not being attached, if you don't want to make money, you're attached to not making money. It's a paradox. So you have to figure out the balance between those two things. And if you are attached to not making money and you are slandering people that make money, especially I see this a lot in spiritual communities, spiritual people that slander other spiritual people for making money. Why are you judging those people? Why are you mad that they're making money as a spiritual practitioner? What in you is so attached to not making money that you're mad at other people for making money? It's a self-reflection tool for you. For you, all you advanced yogis that don't make a lot of money with your job and everything's just a service. Why are you so mad? Why are you so mad about this?
Well, there's that phrase, people are scared of failing, but they're even more terrified of success. There's a sense in which, you know, we talk about attachments. Attachments aren't inherently bad, of course, for those who hear this term and might have an aversion. There are good attachments, you know, attachment to eating right, to exercising, etc. The real question then is just identifying what are those attachments. And as I often say, you can't purify a desire if you don't know what that desire is. Similarly, you can't detach from an attachment if you don't know what that attachment is, at least not consciously. And so when it comes to not only identifying that you always get what you want, and that kind of hard pill of accepting and taking responsibility that my life has come as a result of the things I actually desire, because I have a desire based off a thought, and from that thought comes a particular desire that comes an action I do in this world to fulfill that desire, and it gives me a result. And so therefore, everything that's happening in our life, there's some part of us that is welcoming it. Whether it's a conscious desire or not, that we're not talking about. You might go, I have no actual intentional thought of wanting to struggle with, again, whether it be our health, whether it be our relationships, whether it be our career, our purpose. But the goal is to start to identify what is that part of me that is attached to struggle? What is that part of me that's attached to being small? And oftentimes we're going to find what we call a root fear or a core wound, some part of us that finds a comfort in the familiarity of that playing small, be it, you know, if no one can challenge my value, how valuable and how worthy I am if I play small. You know, I can't be rejected if I play small. My freedom won't be constrained or revoked for me if I play small, whatever the actual case might be. And so step number one is always like, what is it that I truly want? And that's on a both conscious and unconscious level. And we start to sit and I tell everyone, lock yourself in a room, tell everyone in the house, leave me be, don't bug me. And anything with an on-off switch in your room, turn it off and sit there and with a pen and paper and write down like, what is it that I really want? And write so extensively to the point where you can't think of anything else. And then again, ask yourself, what do I want that no one knows about? What do I want that I might not even consciously admit to myself? And that first step of acknowledging your desires, then we can work on them. Then we can purify them. You will likely have some desires that you're like, ugh, that's not in my value system. Those desires, they do not fit really well with the philosophy I want to be living by. And then great, we can work on it. Once you know what it is, at that point, we can actually start to diligently take an approach to overcome those desires or to improve or to purify or to refine them. But the step number one is you have to understand what those desires are and then take radical responsibility that you are living the life you have right now. Exclusively because there's some part of you that wants to live that life, that hasn't chosen to have a desire stronger than the current one that will then lead you to the behaviors that will put you in a different situation than you currently are in life. If you've ever considered having a podcast, especially if you're expert at what you do, I cannot suggest more highly using Podigy's service, which is what we use. If you like this production here, I highly suggest you reach out to Podigy through their contact in the show notes below to run and host your podcast. I went through a bunch of different teams, tried a bunch of different things. No one came close to what I got post-production from Podigy. And even just making a launch easy, taking your content, sharing it, making it presentable, please check out Podigy. If you're great at what you do and you've ever considered having a podcast, I really am excited for you to try them out as well.
Those are such great points. And one example that's coming to my mind, I think this example actually came from one of my teachers. It's kind of a rough example, but it's like a drug addict who lives on the street. They've completely put themselves in that circumstance. And a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of pity. There's a lot of sadness when it comes to these people and, you know, how they're living their lives. And, you know, ultimately they're not happy, but they live the way that they want to live. You know, like, have you ever met a crack addict? Like, they're the most determined people. Like, they make it happen. Doesn't matter if it's like 2 a.m, blizzard outside, like they got no money in their pocket. Best believe they're going to figure out how to make that money and go get that crack. Like, it's going to happen. Like, no matter, the most determined, like, best example is right there. So you can always get what you want. That's just how it works. And everybody has that ability. And you do. Like, that's, everybody gets what they prioritize, whether it's conscious or subconscious. It's just a matter of priority. And so if you're a crack addict, you're not going to prioritize your clothes or your health or your house or whatever. You're going to prioritize getting high because that's your biggest priority.
Yeah, there's a way in which identifying what your value is. Sometimes people say, you know, I really value this though. I don't know why I don't have X, Y, or Z because I really value it. And then my response is always, show me your calendar, like what you spent your last week or month doing. Let me look at what your calendar book entails and what your meetings are and what you spent your time doing. And let me look at your bank account. Let me see what you're spending your money on, because there's three ways in which that we can verifiably understand what's valuable to us. And that is through the way we spend our time, our money. And then I add a third, which is our attention, because what we might be spending time physically in a place, but where is our attention at? You know, we might physically be in a location, but our mind could be somewhere else. So the way in which we can understand what we actually value, what we actually desire, what we actually prioritize is look at how you're spending your time. And the cool thing is nowadays, at least I get an alert on my iPhone. It's like, you spent, what is it? It's like, your phone time is down this week, or your phone time is up by an hour this week, whatever it might be. It actually, it can track. And even if you don't actually have a schedule booked out, which if you don't, please start doing that for the sake of giving yourself data so that you can improve your quality of life. Even if you don't have that, just look at your phone, look at the way that you're spending your time. Similarly, look at how you're spending your money. And you'll find out very quickly what's actually important to you. What do you actually prioritize? What do you actually value? And then those wants that might be, again, more subconscious, more, you may be more unaware of, the ones that are potentially more uncomfortable to admit that you desire, will become more apparent, will become more clear. I mean, I know how uncomfortable it is being faced with the reality of the desires I have that I don't want to admit I have. And they came from looking at how I spend my money and my time and my attention. And just that practice of sitting there and figuring that out, you're going to see also, do I want to be spending my time this way? And to figure out the areas that you're not. And your job is to take a diligent approach to replace those behaviors with new behaviors. And again, people only don't get what they want because they either don't want it, they actually don't want it, or they don't want to do what it's going to take to get it. And examples, yeah, with the health they want, or the money they want, the relationships they want, which for those of you who haven't heard, we have four buckets we usually talk about. When we're talking about big areas of life, we have your health, which includes your physical, mental, and emotional. We have your career, or in Sanskrit we call dharma. It's like your purpose, the thing, the way in which you use your unique gifts to live within this world and take care of yourself. Then we have your relationships. That's everything from your upline and teachers and parents to your students and clients and to your friends and your partners. And then your spirit, or really connecting with the nature of self, the real you driving around the body and the mind. These four buckets. And if we look at any of them and we ask, why don't I have the health I want? Why don't I have the money I want, or the lifestyle I want? Why don't I have the relationships I want, etc.? We either have to figure out, is it that I don't want it enough? Like, I actually prefer what I'm currently doing, even though it's more challenging, it's more familiar, which makes it more comfortable. Or is it that I don't want to do what it's going to take to achieve that I want? And it's usually going to be some combination of both. And so in this way, we can diligently approach our desires and say, okay, here's what I know I want. Here are the desires I don't want to have, but I do certainly have, and that we can start to work on. And then identify, is the result that I'm currently experiencing that coming from that I don't actually desire this thing I think I want because I'm shoulding on myself. I should want it. I should have it. Or is it that I don't want to do what it's going to take for me to actually receive that thing or experience that thing or get the thing I actually want and the thing I actually desire?
Can you label those buckets more concisely and clearly for me, please?
Health, relationships, career, and spirit. These are like the four categories that, in my opinion, anything substantial or important in our life will fall into some of those buckets. This is specific when it comes to the monk mindset. And if you haven't gone through that protocol that I share yet, everyone, please go to that episode, check it out, where I break everything down very clearly. In short, the idea is, when you look at these four areas of life, we want some type of balance. It doesn't mean every day indefinitely. There are going to be seasons where your career needs more attention, your relationships need more attention. So it's not like it has to be a perfect hour to hour balance, but these are areas that have to have some balance. And we'll see that when we feel unfulfilled in our life, if there isn't a balance of one of these, the first step is finding, is bringing one down and bringing one up. An example might be, I spend all day working on my career and no time with my partner and my children, and I wonder why my kids don't know me and my spouse hates me, or whatever it might be. Or I spend all day doing my spiritual practices and neglecting my health, and I wonder why I don't feel like I'm advancing in my practice. If you don't feel good, you ain't going to think good. That's for sure. And so these are the four categories that, again, anything, in my opinion, anything of substance, anything worth paying attention to your life is going to fall into these. And if we look at our day, if we actually look at our routine, we want to find as much of a clear balance to spend as much time in each of these as we can so that we can be healthy, wealthy, satisfied, because relationships, as I often share, are the most important thing in this universe. And if you don't believe me on that, then if somebody were to offer you $1 trillion, and you get to live in a beautiful home where you want, but you can't see anyone for the rest of your life, no one's taking that choice. No sane person's taking that choice, because relationships are everything. And the same thing with spirit. It's like, if we're not spending time connecting with the real self, then we're going to be spending time connecting with the fake self, the temporary self, the body, which is just made of, composed of elements, some skin, flesh, blood, mucus, bile, all the stuff that's, if you think about it, it's kind of like gross and kind of a relief that we're not the body. We just have a body. Same thing with the mind. Witness the mind. And the way that you work, the way that you actually build a life that you want, is have some balance in these four areas.
Yeah. And exploring how we can train the mind. And if you're what you were saying was also making me think of exercises to explore the subconscious mind of you know, if I'm not getting the result that I want, feel into these desires that you have. So, you know, one, like, I'm sure a lot of you may have heard of this, is like when somebody asks you to make a list of like, what are like 10 things, no limitations, that you want. People really struggle with this exercise because they're like, I don't know, like, what do I want? And there's no limitations. And not, like, they get so caught up in their head. And another exercise I was really thinking about that I had seen recently somewhere on social media was to think about getting really wealthy, you know, like naming that number of income and just sitting in it. Like, what would it feel like? Like, when you think about receiving that number, where do you feel it? What does it feel like? Where in your body? You know, like things like that. And are you feeling anxiety? Are you feeling excitement? I don't know why that bubble pops up. Are you feeling, yeah, what's coming up for you? And for me, a lot of the subconscious stuff, just to be transparent, when I think about, because I have a lot of, like, you know, childhood stuff and scarcity stuff that I've had to work around and still currently am working around, sometimes I'm like, yeah, like, I'm all for making money. Like, anybody that knows me is like, I, whatever we can do to make a lot of money, let's do it. Biggest number on the table, let's do it. Even still, when I think about certain numbers and I sit in it, I get this full anxiety in my belly. And it's like, is that excitement? No, it's anxiety. Like, where is that anxiety coming from? What's causing that anxiety? Why would it make me nervous? Maybe it's like me hitting my mic again. Maybe it's me, like, what it's going to take for me to make that number. And that's what gives me anxiety. And so once you can feel into what's going on in your body, because that's the subconscious element of it. Those are the things that can be holding you back, is like the underlying cause that maybe you're not so tapped into yet. And feeling into it and then really breaking it down and reassessing, like, what's going on here for me? And then you can start to tackle those things and get past them and move into them and actually get that number that you want. Or maybe you change the number. Maybe you're like, that one, that actually feels too scary for me right now. Maybe I want to change it to this number right now. Maybe that's like too far ahead. Like, I want to get there eventually, but maybe this feels good. Like, this number feels good to me. This number feels tangible to me. This number feels like I could do it. Like, it feels good. There's still a little scary. Like, there's still a little, like, noise that's going on in my head, but, like, I know that this, I can do it.
Yeah, I think the first step really is, as you mentioned, it's just acknowledgments. Write down, I mean, as you know, we suggest practically everyone to do this, especially people who start working with this, is write down 10 things you desire every day for at least a week. So that's at least 70 unique desires. And at that point, then we just start to get into some of the real desires. And, you know, write down an extensive list and notice how uncomfortable, how difficult it feels, how all the negative emotions that come in with even just acknowledging them. We're not even committing to them, even though the only time we actually achieve things sustainably in our life is by committing to them, is not by flirting with the idea, not by thinking about the idea, not by teasing it, but really committing to it. Even without committing, just sit with it. And be like, okay, how do I feel around these desires? And acknowledge them. And then from there, we can prioritize. Okay, once you know what you want, then say, when I consider my value system, when I look at what's actually important to me, when I'm in my conscious mind, when I'm thinking correctly, then which of these desires do I want to keep? And then accordingly, we can start to then make a game plan. Really just means a set of behaviors that will eventually allow you to achieve that desire. But that first step is to do it there, and not, don't do it with any blame or judgment. Well, judgment's good. People always say, don't judge. It's like, no, judgment's fantastic. Judgment's part of discerning and a part of acting from your conscious mind. So you can judge, but not in a way where you're blaming, justifying, or complaining. Like, oh, you know, I would want this, but my parents, but the government, but where we're off putting the blame. You're never going to get what you want if you blame. Just that's just the reality of it, whether we accept it or not. If you're blaming someone else for your situation, you lost. You have no more control of the situation. You can't do anything about it. So when you notice these desires that you have, don't blame anyone else for them. Oh, you know, I only want this because – no, it's like just accept it. Don't justify it. Well, I want this, but let me explain. It's like, no, just want it. And, you know, don't complain about having – oh, why do I have this desire? No, those three things, which are oftentimes the crux of dissatisfaction, the crux of the opposite of success or failure. And when I say failure, I mean the sense of feeling like a failure, because I don't actually believe that. Anyway, this is a different conversation, but the sense of feeling like a failure. Just look at those desires that you have without a judgment of blame, justification, or complaining, and sit with them. And then accordingly say, which ones do I want to go for? And that's really step number one when it comes to achieving, again, conscious success, when we're trying to develop the life that we want from a conscious place. And, you know, if you enjoy exploring topics like this and you want to hear more about them, just join our Conscious Success community at the link in the show notes, where so many other like-minded individuals get together and we have conversations about this. And we have a bunch of content, courses, resources around how to do this. An example, just being start with making a list of all that you want. And then what do you do from there? We've got a bunch of resources with how to actually start working from, cultivating those desires in different ways. So we're so grateful to get to spend this time with you guys and explore these topics that, as you can see, are revolutionary and life changing in many ways. And if you haven't seen that, then apply them. And then you will see that very quickly. We're very excited to connect with you on this next one. We're going to be exploring some of these next steps of what to do with these desires.
Keep it conscious.